Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. My website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget that it comes every week by email, by the way. And if you decide that you don't like it, you can unsubscribe. I'm very excited about our guest for this segment. And he's somebody that we've talked to on the show before, and you've heard me introduce you to him before. We've had some visits with him about once a year. He joins us again, and it's not somebody that you'll hear on too many other radio shows around the world. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about President Abraham Lincoln. He's become our friend over the years, and I'm glad to have him back on the show. President Lincoln, welcome back to the show.
I'm glad to be with you.
Well,
nice to be around this many years.
I know it. It's amazing that you've lasted this long. President Lincoln, first let me say, you know, this isn't actually your birthday, although we're celebrating presidents' birthdays today. Your birthday was last week, wasn't it?
That's right.
And I haven't done the math on how many years that makes you, but it's over 100. And
190
so,
is, you see, I'm in my 190s. Most of your listeners in their 30s, 40s, and 50s.
It's
I'm
amazing.
In my 190s.
It's amazing.
Now, there's only one advantage about being as old as I am. You know
yeah.
what it is?
What is that?
No peer pressure.
Yeah. no peer pressure. I can see that. But President Lincoln, first let me say thank you for your service to this country and happy birthday. I'm glad to be able to say that to you. But let's talk a little bit about what you think about all this hullabaloo over a president's birthday. Does it embarrass you? Do you think it's the right thing to do? Are we making too big a deal of them? I mean, the government shut down today, and a lot of businesses are closed. What do you think about all this?
Well, as you know, I didn't get a lot of respect when I was here the first time, so I'm glad to get any kind of attention I can that will come my way.
That's great.
I'll tell you, it's enough to help a vain man for at least for a month.
That's great. Now, let's talk a little bit about who your heroes were. Who did you consider? Now, you're one of our heroes, Mr. President, and it's very enjoyable for us to look back and to know that we had someone in your position at the time that you were in the position of president. What were you, 16th? Was you the sixth? No, what? I'm trying to remember. Were you the 16th president?
I'm the 16th. Yes, 16th, I'm the 16th
right,
president.
Uh-huh. And so, you were a man for the time, no question about it. But so you are one of our heroes. But what about your heroes? Who did you study? Who did you look back on fondly? Who did you model sort of your presidency after?
Well, George Washington, without even a question.
Yeah.
And, of course, I was greatly influenced by Jefferson. But Washington just stands out from all of us. I'm sorry that more Americans today haven't gone back to study what kind of man he was. I think that there's the impression that the Revolutionary War lasted just for a few weeks or maybe a year or two. Actually, George Washington pursued that struggle for 8 long years. In fact, when I was just a boy, I read a biography of George Washington, and that biography probably did more to inspire me to public service than anything that I ever read.
He had some days not when he was president, but when he was a general in the war, Revolutionary War. He had some dark days, as you did during the Civil War. There was a time when he actually thought all was lost, didn't he?
A number of times, as. Well, for example, the Continental Congress had difficulty finding ways to pay the troops.
Right, and defeat them.
They were ill-clad. They had very few weapons.
They were hungry.
And another thing is they didn't get their pay for a long time. And George Washington put down a mutiny, as you know, of his soldiers. He was a remarkable man. And his character was just something that was amazing. America's very favored by the infinite that we had such a man. I think he was sent by Providence.
Well, and many think you were sent by Providence, too, Mr. President. And President Lincoln, the other thing that George Washington did that I know that you picked up on is he called us Americans. He gave us the name and American in his farewell speech. He called us Americans and said it must always exalt the just pride of patriotism. And you felt that way too, didn't you?
Absolutely. It wasn't patriotism for me was not a duty. It was an opportunity. Because I believe that the government is us. I believe that the government's not they, it's us. Mm-hmm. And so I fought very hard to preserve government of the people, by the people, for the people. Democracy now, we've grown up with it, but Americans need to understand how rare it was. Mm-hmm. Whenever I was in office. We were the only large democracy in the world at that time. And, of course, when George Washington did it, the only one then.
Right. Exactly. I've only got about a minute or so, and then we have to take something called a commercial break, which you guys didn't have in your day, Mr. President.
We still had to pay the bills.
That's right. You know about that. The primary task of a leader, in about 30 seconds or so, can you give us an idea what you think the primary task of a leader is?
Yes, the ability to communicate. I freely admit that I did not control events. Events controlled me. A leader often cannot control what happens around him, to his business, to his society. But a great leader can communicate to his or her people what is occurring. So the capacity to communicate is all important for a leader.
Mr. President, happy birthday. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for spending some time with us. And thanks for your great service to this country.
It's an honor to be on your program.
Thank you, sir. President Lincoln, ladies and gentlemen, President Abraham Lincoln. Going to take a quick break. I'll be right back with his good friend, Gene Greisman, right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. Back is 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting now with our good friend Gene Greisman. Eugene Greisman, the author of the Words Lincoln Lived By. He just can't wait to get on the show. Gene, welcome back.
I certainly don't want to interrupt when you're giving the title of my book. You can say it again.
That's right. Yeah, it's The Words Lincoln Lived By, ladies and gentlemen. Also, The Time Tactics of Very Successful People. But Gene is one of our favorite folks on the in our brain trust, and if for no other reason, not the least of which, is the fact that he brings the president with him when he comes. He brings President Lincoln with him, and we get to visit with him. Boy, what a great visit we had with President Lincoln, Gene. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you very much. Actually, I now do a combination. I will go in and do about 45 minutes as Abraham Lincoln, and then we'll take a break, and I'll get out of costume. Come back and lead a discussion, a seminar on what we can learn from historical figures like Lincoln.
Yeah.
And I was looking at an evaluation that I received the other day, and the comment was, I really loved Lincoln, but I felt sorry for the poor man who had to follow him.
That's a great one. Gene, what do you, today's President's Day, we're celebrating all the president's birthdays, and including some who are some of the noble ones and some of the ignominious ones, and I guess we're even celebrating Jimmy Carter's birthday, but What do you think about all this? Is it too big a deal being made of the birthday of the president? It's really kind of a presidents are kind of a special thing in the history of mankind, aren't they?
They certainly are. I don't think it's too big a deal. I think that whenever we can ask people to recall what's gone before, learn from history, I think it's important. In fact, Harry Truman said, "The only new thing in the world is the history that you don't know." And we can learn.
I like that.
America, you see, the great presidents are gifts. But we need to remember that before they were monuments, they were men.
Right.
And we can study them for their human abilities and frailties and shortcomings. And even when we had less than great presidents, what is wonderful is that the founding fathers put in place a system of government that moves right along despite the bad ones.
You know, I was looking for a note here. You talked about those frailties. Washington talked about that in his farewell speech, and I can't find it, but he actually apologized for his frailties. And, you know, he said, anything that I've done, I'm going from memory now, he said, anything that I've done that was wrong, I'm paraphrasing, that was wrong, you know, was not done intentionally, and, you know, I'm very aware of my shortcomings, and I hope that God in his divine providence will undo some of the damage I might have done.
Well, you see, Washington's a remarkable man. And speaking of frailties, Washington had a volcanic temper, which he recognized. Most of the time, he kept it under control, but he had to deal with that. As did Lincoln. Lincoln had a huge temper, and in his youth, he actually took it out in physical ways.
He got him in trouble, didn't he?
incidentally, both Lincoln and Washington were very athletic. Both were great wrestlers. And so they were very athletic. They were both very tall men. There are a lot of similarities between the two men.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, at my website, I have a list of the similarities.
Please give us that website. It's a great place
to go. It's www.presidentlincoln.com. One word, presidentlincoln.com. And if they go to the website, go to Index to All Pages, and they'll look under George Washington or look under Lincoln, and the index will take them to the similarities. Both were surveyors at one time in their lives. Both understood the law and studied law. Both, just a number of similarities. Neither of them ever joined a church. But both were devout men, and both prayed.
Very interesting. What do you think is the most? We got about a minute, Gene. What do you think is the most important thing that Abraham Lincoln did for America?
He preserved the nation, and he also recognized that the nation, when he found it, was not strong enough at the core. It was a loose confederation whenever Lincoln took over as president. In fact, when Lincoln became president, people spoke of the United States in the plural. They said the United States are. Mm-hmm. After Lincoln, they spoke of it in the singular. The United mm-hmm. States is.
A lot of people paid the ultimate price to have those two words interchanged, didn't they?
That is right. But Lincoln believed, as did John Adams, that republics usually commit suicide, and he saw that it didn't.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Gene Griceman, thanks for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, check it out, The Words Lincoln Lived By Gene Griceman. Also, PresidentLincoln.com is his website. Gene, thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing President Lincoln to see us today.
It's a pleasure.
See you later. Gene Griceman, folks, 29 after. I'll be right back with our good friend, Bob Dylan Schneider. The show is brought to you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.